Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. We're so glad you're with us this evening. A lot of football talk on this evening's program. Both NFL and high school football will be the topic of conversation. And here to do it with me from the RCN Sports Department, Mr. Dennis Law. Dennis, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Great to be back in the original setup here on the Sports Talk.
Is it just me or did this summer fly by? It was like Memorial Day, July 4th, and now we're getting ready for high school football.
It has really been an interesting summer.
Yeah. You've been coaching.
Weather-wise. Oh. And it's just been crazy with the amount of rain we've had. And, yes, I've coached girls softball, young girls softball. That's quite a challenge. But, you know, this time of year, of course, you're excited because football's here and, you know, we got the Eagles preseason tonight. They're starting the high school season. The practices and scrimmages already on Saturday and games next week. So it's that time of year.
Yeah. A little later in our program, we're going to be joined by the fans, Craig Hoffman, to talk about the NFC East and some pro football conversation and also talk high school football in just a little bit. But Dennis, I want to ask you, because the Eagles, you've been a longtime Eagles fan, mm-hmm. an Eagles observer for many years. And you're pretty level-headed. You don't go carried away saying they're going to win the Super Bowl right. or going to open 16. You're pretty even-keeled. So I want to ask a few things, especially some of the more newsworthy items that came out over the last few days. Jordan Matthews, coming into this offseason, he was your number one wide receiver. Very good in the slot. They add right. Alshon Jeffries, Torrey Smith, to put him back in that number three spot, which was ideal. But then they traded him for Ronald Darby, which they needed, a much-needed addition at cornerback. Correct. He's instantly put in as a starter at cornerback, plus a number three draft pick. So your thoughts on the trade?
The number three draft pick that you just say is a plus. Everyone knows, draft picks are so huge. Mm-hmm. And to just give up a third, maybe a six, a seven, maybe possibly a five, Darby was definitely a need. He, though, had a bad year last year. He had a down year. So they're hoping that they can revive him. And, yes, he has speed, but speed doesn't cover people. It helps make up once you burn a guy. But Matthews, there's something beyond the story here. They did not want to give him what he felt he was worth. Yeah. Howie Roseman for years has grabbed these guys and signed them up in the year before their rookie contract expires. And I'm sure he had conversations, but Matthews' agent, and they had the numbers because they were he was the leading receiver on the team and put up good numbers, but $8-10 million a year for a slot receiver, they felt they had a better deal with Aguilar and whomever else. And taking flyers on Torrey Smith and Jeffrey, I don't know.
How confident are you in Nelson Aguilar and Mac Collins and maybe even Pumphreys? They talked about moving him over to the slot, rotating guys in that number three and number four spot. Are you comfortable with Nelson Aguilar? The reports are he's been wonderful in the preseason so far. He's much more confident. That's been obvious. He has a lot more confidence. But once you get to showtime, the season starts for real. Do you think he can hold on to the ball and not have those drops that he had so often last year?
That's another great point that you just brought up. I mean, practice is practice. And there are many – I've played on teams where guys were great practice players and, come Friday nights when the lights were up, they disappear. And it seems that way with Nelson Aguilar. But, as far as Matthews in that slot at that value, yes, Pumphrey, Zach Ertz, mm-hmm. even put Sproles in there, get some usage out of some of these backs. I don't have the total confidence in Aguilar, but the money that he got, you can't just release him. Mm-hmm. So, and no one wants to trade for him until he puts something good on the film. Yeah. So they had to keep him this year, and I hope, optimistic that maybe the light will turn on for him.
Yeah. Now, with the addition of Darby, you think are you comfortable now with the secondary? Because that was the one spot where I thought the Eagles really had to go and go hard to add in the offseason. They did a great job everywhere else. But in the draft, they picked a guy who we may not see at all. The third round, Rasul Douglas may, you know, he may see some time, but from all reports that I've been hearing from people that have been covering training camp, he's not ready to be a full-time guy. So how comfortable or how uneasy are you with the secondary?
Very uneasy with the secondary. But the one good thing that happens now is that Malcolm Jenkins can just concentrate and play safety. They don't have to bring him in there. He was their nickel cornerback last year. So they did address the cornerback position. Douglas supposedly has the size, yeah, but he's holding a lot and committing some probable pass interference, a lot of those, and the same with Jalen Mills. He's just a very aggressive kind of player and too much hands-on, and I think he's going to get flagged a lot.
Now, the rest of the defense, a lot of people, we had Jeff Kerr from CBS a couple weeks ago saying he is in love with the front seven. He loves the guys up front. He likes their potential, but he also likes what they can do now. My concern with the Eagles defensively is depth. I mean, if they were pretty lucky last year not to lose too many big names. If they lose a couple of those big names, the guys they have replacing those guys, I think are going to have real problems, especially if you're worried about the secondary to start the year. If you lose that pass rushing option and you lose the guys that are going to put pressure on opposing teams' quarterbacks, everyone's talking about this could be a great year for the Eagles, or at least 500 or better. If they get some key injuries, I think this could be a major step backwards in terms of wins and losses.
Well, I agree. I'm not going to sit here and say that they're going to be 10-6 and they're going to win their division and they're going to the playoffs. I think a good possibility for them is an 8-8 season, or maybe the same as last, the 7-9, maybe 9-7. Injuries in the NFL, what NFL team has depth? Nobody.
Patriots.
They do, and is it scheme? Is it, you know, but the Eagles, you know, yes, I think every team, if they get some injuries, is in trouble. But their front seven, they're depending on those front seven, yeah, to put the pressure on there without blitzing. And the problem that I really have is Jim Schwartz. I mean, they crown him like this. He's the genius of all genius of defense. And I'm sorry, I still believe in blitzing every once in a while. You gotta throw some blitzes at people.
Especially, I mean, with a weak secondary. You think,
yes,
they'd be blitzing more often.
You gotta get the pressure. And there is a lot of pressure on those front seven guys to get to the quarterback. They should. Their starting line, I think adding Jernigan is definitely going to help put some pressure from the middle. Hopefully he's going to elevate Fletcher Cox's level this year. And the ends, they have four guys going in there. So hopefully.
A couple more quick Eagles questions before we get to high school football, because we didn't talk about Carson Wentz last year.
Okay.
Carson Wentz, you know, obviously there's some very high expectations for him. A lot of people on radio talk shows saying he's the greatest quarterback ever already in Eagles history, or soon will be. Objectively, what do you want to see out of him? Obviously, he has to improve and he has to take the next step. But what are you looking to see from him this year? And what are his bare minimum requirements? What, you know, what win total, what passing numbers, what quarterback rating, however you want to assess it, what does he have to get to this year to say, okay, he took a step forward and is moving in the right direction?
Wow. Let me tell you what he has.
Okay.
He has the ability to lead. Mm-hmm. He is a leader. It is said throughout the locker room, throughout the coaching staff, and, you know, just getting his receiving core to go into North Dakota, you know, to work out with him. And he does have that ability. What I'm looking for in him this year, Chris, is I don't want to see him throwing off, you know, the wrong foot or trying to take too much on his shoulders. I want to see good footwork. I want to see good form out of him throwing the ball. And I think if he has that, he's going to be fine. let's face it, this offensive line they have that they've been saying that's so good and so solid, they still got to pick up blitzes. They still got to block their men and give this guy a pocket. You give him time, you give him a pocket, I think he's going to be fine.
All right, the running game, Ryan Matthews cut the other day. I don't think that was a surprise at all. LeGarrette Blount, obviously, is going to be a key. Donnell Pumphreys, he's been having some fumbles, both in the first preseason game last week and again in practice this week, which is drawing more and more concern. Where are you in terms of comfort level in terms of the running game?
Not comfortable at all in terms of the running game. And again, it's back on the line. I watched the game last week, and they had the starters in there, and they had a second down and a few inches to go. And you have LeGarrette Blount back there in the game, and they're going to get Nelson Aguilar coming across and have him hand him the ball on an end around. That was a point in time where I'm sitting there thinking, this is why you sign Blount. Let's put this line to the test and let's get the inches and let's do it. You know, let's see what Blount can do and what this line can do. You can't give the ball to Pumphrey a ton. You can't give it to Sproles a ton. Obviously, Blount isn't built for a ton of carries either because of his speed issues. And then you're looking at Wendell Smallwood. So maybe Wendell Smallwood comes out of this thing. And I mean, it's sad because he's injured, so you won't get to see him again tonight. So maybe he could be the factor that could be the one guy in that backfield that can carry the ball 20 times.
And I liked him last year, but I was told by a lot of people who cover the team, no, they think short spurts is better for him. The more he's exposed, the weaker he will be. So, I would really like to see them take a chance, especially if there's no other options, to give him the ball right. A little bit more. All right, last Eagles question. Simple question here. Grade for the offseason. What's your assessment of Howie Roseman? And since this will be your last time on before the season starts, projected win total for the Eagles this year.
I would give Howie Roseman a B+. I think he definitely made some good moves. I don't think any pro team gets an A grade until we see what happens. But I like the moves that he made. And, yes, I knew Ryan Matthews was going to be gone at $4 million saved. Does a pretty good job with the cap. Projected win total, let's go right down the middle, Chris. I'll say 8.
Okay, one way or the other. Come on.
Okay, we'll go 9-7.
They're going to
go
9-7.
9-7.
And if you're wrong, I'm going to come to your house and remind you.
They have a tough schedule. You know where I live. You're welcome there anytime.
Yeah, all right, so 9-7, you heard it here first for the Eagles this year. All right, again, we're going to get back to NFC East talk a little bit later in the program when Craig Hoffman will be joining us from the Fan Radio. Right now, though, we're going to turn our attention to high school football. And a quick note about all of our high school football preview coverage and primer shows coming up over the next week or so. Next week, we're going to be joined by local officials, Jim Haney, Jack Keeter, and Frank D'Angelo, talk about some new rules and about officiating in general and also their thoughts as we embark on the 2017 high school football season. And we're going to get an update from a New York Giants preseason camp to talk about the Giants as they head into their season. Then our annual shows from the Allentown Fairgrounds. We hope you'll come out and join these shows, and we'll be focusing on different teams each night. On Tuesday, it'll be our EPC South Primer show, focusing on the teams from the Lehigh Valley. On Wednesday, we'll talk about Allen Central and Deerup, along with the Pocono teams on Wednesday night. And on Thursday, we'll talk about the Colonial League. We'll also be joined by some cheerleading groups and local bands at our annual shows of the fair. So make sure you check it out. More information online at rcn.com/rcntv. And we hope you'll join us for all of those, the preview and primer shows. And, of course, if you miss it live, the shows will be on demand and also on the podcast. Also, you can find that on the RCN-TV website. What I thought we'd do tonight, though, Dennis, is to pick your brain and talk about some of the more intriguing storylines. We're not going to address every team tonight, right, as we have all these preview shows coming up, in which we'll get in more depth. But I wanted to touch on some of the more interesting storylines and teams I think a lot of people are going to be interested in seeing. So we'll start at Parkland right now. That's the consensus pick, I believe, is the best team in the preseason anyway, heading into the season. We'll have our official poll starting next week. But Parkland seems to be the team to beat. They got a lot of people back, and they have a returning quarterback who really finished last year pretty strong.
Yeah, Michael Roush did some good things on the basketball court. Know I'm him. Sure you saw. But yeah, having him back is a key. Anytime you can bring your quarterback back to your team, it's a good thing. Parkland is Parkland. They're always going to be listed on the top of everybody's poll because they have just so many good players and so much good talent in place, and it's year after year after year. You see it at the freshman level, it's JV level, they just win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can talk about, you know, they lost this many linemen or they lost these linebackers, but we're talking about guys that have had success, you know, and been waiting for years to get this opportunity. And there's a lot of meat on the bone at Parkland and Worth. I mean, this year he's going to get the ball. Well, the second half of the year they gave him the ball a lot. Yeah. He was arguably one of the top three defensive players, you know, at the linebacker
spot. That's where I think he's most exciting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a real talent there. But then athletically, they just had to put him in there and got him the ball. And, you know, at the end of the season there, he had some real nice games. I'm sure they're depending on him for a lot this year.
I didn't think he got as much press as he deserved last year. Is that maybe because he was a junior and there was a lot of other outstanding players on offense and defense? I hope this year he gets a little bit more attention because I really like him a lot.
Yeah, he's a fine talent. Maybe a little on the shorter side when you're talking, you know, the big college level player. But he is a really good football player. There's no question about it. And, you know, I'm sure he's going to get his fair share of publicity and recognition because Parkland, you know, usually gets, you know, some headlines in the paper and they get on RCN. You know, a few times a year, their games.
I think it's rare to see a dynamic player defensively. That's why I've been trying to tout him a little bit, and hopefully he gets some more respect. Real quick, to finish up about Parkland, because that was the report in one of the preseason capsules that their offensive line is in flux. I remember this story. I remember this story from a year or two ago. Someone told me you got to see the line and watch their footwork and their size and how they work together. So I went early to a game a couple years ago, and I'm watching them. I'm like, boy, this line is impressive. And one of the assistant coaches come over and say, this is the JV team. Varsity's way down there. They're even bigger. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, those guys are now seniors, so I think they're going to be pretty well stocked. All right, before we go to break, one other team I think is going to be a very interesting storyline this year, and that is the Easton Red Rovers, for obviously big reasons. And they had so many injuries last year. They still made the playoffs. But from all those injuries, they got a lot of people getting experience, freshmen and sophomores playing. That has to help them for this year, getting their feet wet, getting a taste of what it takes to be successful. If they can keep everyone healthy, I would think they're going to be one of the top teams again in the EPC.
Well, there's certainly going to be a big level of excitement for the kids down there. And I guess their numbers in their off-season conditioning program almost doubled, you know, this year. So kids see this, and they, you know, oh, we wouldn't have had a chance under, you know, coach so-and-so and not a. You got somebody new, you got somebody fresh, bringing a fresh approach. Although they're going to, Easton's still going to be Easton. I'm sure they're still going to run the ball a lot and play good, hard-nosed, solid defensive football. But, you know, bringing that new voice in there, there is going to be some level of excitement. And, again, that's a program that top to bottom, they usually win a majority of their football games at the lower levels. And, you know, I've even read that, you know, Coach Bredo went to some of the youth leagues and conducted some clinics for them. Stuff that I'm sure Steve did too. But, you know, they want to publicize this as much as they can and try to, you know, ease this through. Yeah. So.
And I think another interesting thing besides the new coach, when you look at their schedule, they start off with Stroudsburg. Well, that should be a win. But then they have Liberty, Freedom, Parkland, Whitehall, Becca, all in a row.
Ooh.
If you go 2-4 after six games, I mean, 2-4 against that set of teams may not be the worst thing in the world. But in Easton, you go 2-4, as you well know. Oh. You lose more than one regular season game, there's people ready to run you out of town. So it's going to be interesting to see how the new regime deals with a very tough front half of the schedule or first six games.
I didn't notice that schedule was that front end loaded. And Stroudsburg's nobody to take light from the north. They've consistently been the strongest of the teams from up there. But, yeah, that would be interesting. And that scenario could very well come true. But, you know, they do have some returning players. So Easton will always be experienced. They will.
All right, we're going to touch on some more EPC teams and teams to watch and some players to watch, and then touch on Colonial League teams as well, all coming up on tonight's program. Right now it is your chance to win tonight's prize as we roll out the trivia question. It is NFL related. Dennis, you got to say if you like this question or not. Who has the most wins as an NFL head coach? It's not your buddy Andy Reid, but who has, other than Andy Reid, who has the most wins as an NFL head coach? And here's more information on how and what you can win.
Gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority, but if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call, talking high school and NFL football on tonight's program with Dennis Lau from the RCN Sports Department, and we'll be joined by Craig Hoffman from The Fan to talk some NFC East football in just a little bit. But right now, continuing with the EPC talk, Emmaus, I think they are going to be interesting for several different reasons this year. First of all, Blake Reed, with all due respect, I preferred him running the offense last year. I thought he did a really good job. He could run the ball a little bit more effective than the guy he took over for, lost his job because of injury. But I think the offense overall seemed more comfortable. He seemed to improve in terms of accuracy as the season went on. And with Josh Artis, those big hands and those two big running backs coming out of the backfield, I think this offense is going to be pretty impressive.
Yeah, and Matt Seneca was talking that they made some adjustments to their offense and put some different schemes in there, and I'm thinking, why? You got two guys that combined, I think, were like 2,500 yards, and you have the athletic size and artist. Now, that's potential.
Tim Mazikoy-like, just running those routes.
Yeah, he's got the size of an Alshon Jeffrey and the ability to just, you know, throw it up to him and make things happen. And, of course, their coach, Harold Fairclough, has the defensive pedigree, and Matt's dad, Sam, is there. So, you know, defensively, they're going to be tough. That game last year with Parkland was one of the best games. In my opinion, that was the best game of the year that I watched here, you know, when we did it on our show. But that game was just, I think that gave Emmaus such confidence that, you know what, we are one of the upper teams now. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to really have a good year this year. I really, really do.
That's the interesting thing, because for Emmaus, for as long as I can remember, they've had the stigma of years in which you expect them to be among the elite top two or three or four teams. They seem to fall short in the past. Mm-hmm. And in other years, when they're expected to be towards the bottom, like last year, they surpass expectations and really look impressive. So do you think they can kind of beat that rap? It's a new head coach, basically. Harold Fairclough is just second year. Can they beat that rap, and can they live up to the expectations, which I think are going to be pretty high when we get to our official previews?
I believe they can. I really, really do. I would like to actually see it come down to them in Parkland at the end. They usually play the last week of the season, and I would like to see the title, the East Penn title, the East Penn South title be on the line. at that point in time. And this year it would be at Parkland. So yeah.
And it is the last game
little,
again.
Yeah, it would make things a little bit different. But I think Emmaus has the horses. I mean, they have the horses up front. I believe their line, defensive and offensive line, they got guys coming back. So I think they're going to be good.
And not that they're going to need an easy schedule, but they don't have the toughest first half of the year. They have Dearth, then Whitehall and Becca. Those will be two tough games. And then Pocono Mountain West and then Northampton. So, I mean, they could very easily be 5-0 or at worst 4-1 at the midway point of the season.
You better watch how you talk about Dearth with Mr. Kingsley.
Oh, he's in the back.
On the phones. He's
in restraints, too. I'll make sure he was a former Husky. Yeah,
Husky.
Although not during basketball season. But we'll talk about that in the winter. A team near and dear to your heart, Whitehall Zephyrs. The Zephyrs, under Brian Gilbert, since he's been there, it seems like they either have mass turnovers and he has to replenish a lot of positions, or they have just about everyone back. This year, I think they're in the ideal spot of they lose some big names, but they have a lot of big names coming back, especially the skilled positions. They have a new junior quarterback who I know a lot of people are very high on in Parvell, and most of their linemen are coming back too. So I would think this is a year Whitehall is expected to be among those top teams in the EPC. Would you agree? Remember where you live.
I know. They're a playoff caliber team. There's no question about it. Their line is back.
That's my second question, but go ahead.
Boykin is one heck of a player. He's one heck of a talent. The question is Parvell. I mean, does the success of he was named at a basketball game you and I did in Dearth, and in December, yeah. You anointed this guy the starting quarterback, and yeah, he is, and he's also going to be the starting point guard of the basketball team. And you're surprised what happens when you tell a 16 or 17-year-old kid that's you're this and you're that. You must go out there and put it on the field. Depth is always a problem with a team like Whitehall. They just don't have the numbers and they don't have the horses. But, you know, having that line, four or five linemen back is going to be key for them.
Yeah. And you mentioned the playoffs, so I'm going to ask this question. They're in Class 5A. There's no changes. It's still four teams. Right. All four teams automatically make the playoffs. But Whitehall has to be a heavy favorite to win the district title again, 5A. And it's almost impossible for them to get deep into states because of some of the other teams waiting down the line. So there's no change. But you know, how do you see that? It's, I don't want to say you hand them the trophy for a district title, but certainly they are in great shape to win a district title. And then you look at some of the teams they have to face down the road in the states, and you think, what do you make of the way it's laid out right now at 5A?
Well, it's tough, but I would not be willing to just hand them any 5A trophy. I mean, the game with Southern Lehigh.
Are you sure you're going home tonight?
The game with Southern Lehigh.
I'll let you in across the border.
The guy in Southern Lehigh, Mr. Tolman, does a great job.
They have a very good team. Yes.
And they have a bunch of good players coming back, and they got an experienced line coming back. Yes, they're going to lose Walter, but I know I'm getting into the Colonial League. But hey, if it comes down to those two teams, it's going to be a very good game. It was last year, and in the second half, it just, you know, Whitehall's athletes took over. But, yes, I don't like the four-team setup, obviously. That's, you know, don't want to say what.
You can say whatever you want here.
Well, it's a little tainted, all right? It's a little tainted, yeah. I think, you know. When you have a four-team thing. But, hey, it's a championship. But look what happened when they played Archbishop Wood.
That was tough.
Yeah.
All right. We are going to get to the Colonial League right after this break. We also have that trivia question out there, again, looking for who has the most wins ever as an NFL head football coach. As we head to break, the Phillies' J.P. Crawford recently fell out of the top spot as the organization's number one minor league prospect. We had a chance to catch up with him and talk about minor league player rankings, the Iron Pigs clubhouse, and also some recent advice he received from the Phillies' incumbent shortstop, Freddie Galvis.
I don't really pay attention to that stuff. I mean, my job is to go out there every day and try to help my team win. That's all I'm focused on. Well, they just helped me out a lot. I mean, defensive-wise, Freddie helped me out great amounts. I mean, I can't thank that guy enough. And just going out there, just taking it easy, don't try to rush. And it's helped me a lot. And we have fun. We like to have fun. We like to hang out on and off the field. And just being here, playing some ping pong together, playing video games and all that stuff, it helps. Yeah, not get eliminated in the first round. I mean, try to take it off. Try to take the championship home.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Keith Groller on assignment tonight, covering the Blue Mountain League Championship Series. Make sure you catch his article in tomorrow's Morning Call, or see his article online at themorningcall.com. Dennis Lobb from the RCN Sports Department joining us, talking some high school and pro football action. We still have that trivia question out there. Who has the most wins as an NFL head football coach? And let's go to the phone lines and see if Mike from South Whitehall has the answer. Mike, welcome to Sports Talk.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Mike.
Yes.
How are you?
Good. How are you, Chris?
Doing pretty good. Gearing up for high school football season. You excited for football?
That's Don Shula.
Don Shula is the correct answer. Very good. Dennis, do you approve of the trivia question?
Yeah, I have no problem with it.
I get flack all the time.
Everything
that
Chris Zaya doesn't approve of, I usually approve of.
Well, that's because he's mad.
He's a Mets fan. I'm a Yankees fan, you know, but we agree on the Eagles.
And what did you say? 16-0? Or no, 15-1.
13-3, I think, was his prediction.
He was just telling that. All right, Mike, thanks so much for joining us. We'll be in contact with you about the prize.
And Chris.
Yes.
Tell Dennis that the Eagles are 3-0.
All right. That's good.
All right. There you go, Dennis.
They're up 3-0. Caleb Sturgis.
Yeah. Great defense,
good
too,
deal.
I've heard. Where I've
been
seeing tweets.
All right, Mike.
Thanks so much for joining
Mike.
Us. All right. I do want to touch on some Colonial League teams. I know there's a couple EPC teams. We'll try to get to them, if not today, certainly in our next preview show. So with five primer shows coming up on RCN this fall. Palisades. They're a very interesting team. They're on our RCN broadcast schedule, so I'm very excited to see them after not seeing them for quite a while. 10 returning players on offense, 10 returning starters on defense, and a lot of those guys put up some impressive numbers last year. So could this be the Pirates' year to kind of take over the Colonial League flag?
I would like to see a change, yeah. I truly would like to see them do well. They have their backfield back. Mr. Brader and Coletti, I believe, and Gretzinger in the backfield. And Kevin Ronalds does a wonderful job with those guys. He's just a very good football coach. More of a defensive-minded guy, but, you know, he does a real nice job. I remember when, you know, you and I were doing games, and my first game was Allen, and I actually went and saw him conduct a practice, and I was really impressed by Kevin Ronalds, and I knew he was going to do a good job, and he followed Brian Gilbert down there, and that wasn't an easy thing to do, because Gilbert really put Palisades on the map, and that program's, you know, it gets contagious, and you know, they had a decent year. I think they made the playoffs, and I would think they're going to be, you know, up there again this year.
And in the preseason, a postcard that was on the Morning Call for the Pirates, Kevin Ronalds was quoted as saying, this is the most skilled position players that he's ever coached. And he's had some pretty good teams over the years. As you said, he's been around for some pretty good programs. So for him to say this is the best set of skilled position players he's ever had coming into the season, I would have to think Palisades is certainly going to be among the elite in the Colonial League this year.
Oh, yeah.
The team they have week one, a very interesting Colonial League matchup to start off the year. First game of the season, in fact, Palisades taking on Notre Dame, who is another team that figures to be one of the elite teams in the Colonial League. After having a phenomenal year last year, Phil Stanball took over the reins as the head coach. That high-flying offense, the quarterback, Cole DeFranco, is back. A lot of the weapons are back as well. defense is the big key. And in the Colonial League and in some of their state playoffs games, they did a great job using their speed and mixing and having different combinations because they're not big. They don't have great numbers being from a small school. But can they do that again, or are they going to have success by just outrunning and outgunning teams?
They usually have success doing it that way. The run gun, the spread. They're going to miss Mitch Daniel big mm-hmm. time. And they're going to miss that Woody kid on the offensive and defensive line. He was a real disruptive force on the defensive line for them. But again, that's a program that just sort of reloads. That is a great first week matchup. And yes, they could be the top two teams. I'm sure Southern Lehigh mm-hmm. has something to say about that. And even Saucon, who has won the last 3 years, yeah. Would have something about that. But that's a great matchup to start off the year in that league. And should be a really good game. Wherever it's at, you know, probably has the edge because it's tough. It's tough traveling down to Palisades to play a game.
Yeah, although they're on the turf there, that might actually benefit Notre Dame, too, with their speed.
Yeah.
Saucon Valley, you mentioned them. They had such great offensive line in the last few years.
Yes.
I think that was another very underrated story. Evan Culver, a great running back, some great skilled position mm-hmm. people, but their linemen were so solid for the last 3 years during their tremendous success. They graduated just about everyone from that core. I don't think it's going to be easy to replace them. They have some nice guys coming back, but they may stumble at least in the early part of the season, I think, trying to get that continuity and that chemistry that they had that was so effective the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, Pettit is a real nice, I think that's how you say Pettit or Petit. He is a really good running back. But, again, when you have a road grader like Cody Zirinsky in front of you and some of those other guys that they had on that line that were 3 or 4 year starters, and now they've got to replace them. Plus, the big move they're making is the Wolf kid, who was their wide receiver. Is it Alistair Wolf?
Alston Wolf.
Yeah. Now you're putting him at quarterback. So you're
the owner of the catch from 2 years ago in that game against Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We had that game. We had that game on live. I remember that. But anytime you make a position change like that and you take a guy that was probably an all-league wide receiver and now you're putting him at quarterback, that's going to take some time to get situated, I think.
All right, one other team I wanted to try to squeeze in here, and again, we're going to be talking much more in detail about the different leagues on our upcoming shows here. But Caddy was a team, they didn't have a 500 record last year, but again, through the new classifications and so forth, they almost made the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of people coming back. Mm-hmm. I had a chance to see them last year. I think Phil Dorn's doing a very nice job. It's tough with a small community like that. You don't have depth at all. But I thought he really made the most out of what he had. They were in a lot of games against Notre Dame and some of the other tough teams. And I think they can at least get the 500, and certainly in that 2A bracket, they can make the playoffs this year.
Andrew Brett is a really nice quarterback. He's a guy that's under the radar a little bit, probably when it would come to preseason all-Colonial League quarterbacks. His name might not even be mentioned. But he quietly had a nice year. He had three great receivers. I understand the Gonzalez kid is back as one of his targets. But they threw it way too much. They need to develop some kind of run game to take the pressure off Andrew Brett. He put up good numbers throwing the ball, but he had his fair share of interceptions because of throwing it way too much. And with a school like Caddy, you also brought up the fact that it's a small school. So
injuries,
depth, offensive linemen, I mean, it's an issue, you know, if they get some kind of injuries.
All right, a quick reminder, last call for the you got the trivia answered. All right, again, Mike got that trivia question, so we're set up on that. And, again, we have those preview shows coming up over the next couple weeks. Make sure you check that out on live TV, on RCN TV, on demand, or through our podcast. All right, we're going to take a break and try to hook up with Craig Hoffman from 106.7 The Fan to talk some NFC East football on the other side of this timeout. Final segment of RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call, the first of five high school football primer shows, although we're going to be talking some NFL football in just a moment. Two quick teams I wanted to get while Dennis is still here. We appreciate you staying with us through segment number four and coming in on a nice summary afternoon and evening. Bethlehem Catholic, obviously they had some off-season news with the coaching change. Javon Clemens, a big loss, but they still have a lot of big names coming back there. I certainly think, certainly in 4A, they're going to be in the conversation of the top teams, but I think in the EPC as well, they're going to challenge some teams.
Big offensive line, solid, skilled defensive linemen. Henrik coming back, taking over. Yeah, that was a little bit. But if a school can handle that kind of thing, it's Becca. You know, they just dealt with it, and you know, the program's in place, and you know, they're going to be up there in the 4A. You talk about Whitehall and their supposed guarantee of the 5A title. Well, then I'm going to place a lot of pressure on them. I'm going to place a lot of pressure on Becca and say, Becca, you better win the 4A title.
And you're saying Whitehall won't win 5A?
They should win. They should win. They would. Yeah, I hope they win.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're.
I'll be able to go
tonight.
Watch a lot of the games this year. So.
All right, let's go to the phone line and welcome in Craig Hoffman from 106 The Fan, personality, and he's spent a lot of time at Redskins camp the last few weeks. Craig, thanks so much for joining us in Sports Talk this evening.
You got it, man. How are you?
Good, good. I want to start by asking you about the wide receivers. Of course, they lost some big names in the offseason. They have Terrell Pryor in the fold. The word is their six-round draft pick. Robert Davis has been looking good. Josh Dotson, I know I've seen on the Redskins website, there's video of him practicing, doing individual drills, but he's not out in actual game-type situations yet. So how do the wide receivers, how are they shaping up this year?
I mean, they look like it's a talented group. The health is definitely the biggest question right now. I mean, Terrell Pryor was, to me, the most impressive guy in training camp. His size is pretty incredible to witness in person. And then, you know, Jameson Crowder's a stud who's back, and they should have him on Saturday against Green Bay in their preseason game, even though he missed some time with a hamstring injury. And then, as you said, Dotson today back in individual, a little bit of team stuff, even though they weren't in pads. And then we'll see from there, you know. The rest of the roster, they love Ryan Grant for some reason. We call him Mr. August because he's great in the preseason and camp every year. The coaches rave about him. And then he never does anything in the preseason except for get in the way and drop wide open passes. So they love him. He'll be their fourth wide receiver. And then I think there's a couple guys, Robert Davis, Corey Davis. They actually have two rookie Davis receivers. I think both of them have looked pretty solid in camp. Brian Quick, the veteran, I think is probably the favorite in terms of who's the best player to me right now to be that fifth wide receiver, but he's also a veteran, and you know, they take a flyer on a young guy. But you know, today Brian Quick, who's had near 1,000 1-yard seasons, if not 1,000-yard seasons in this league, is out there on punt coverage, so he's willing to do whatever it takes, and we'll have to see how that last position shakes out.
And so I'd assume Dotson's, they're going to be very cautious here, not play him at all on Saturday, especially with giving more reps and opportunities to some of the other guys fighting for the roster spots, correct?
I wouldn't necessarily say that just yet. Let's see how he does tomorrow. I think they would love to get him reps. Yeah. You have to remember, he missed basically all of last season with some mystery Achilles injury that mysteriously healed itself in the offseason with rest. They just didn't know what to do with it, let it rest, and it finally healed up. So the fact that he's basically a rookie and someone they're really counting on if they let DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon go, they need him to get game reps. He hasn't played a whole lot of NFL snaps. And so if they can get him in an actual game on Saturday because his hamstring's better, they will.
Yeah. How about the running game? I know Rob Kelly had a neck injury, too, and that's going to be a big area of concern, too, especially if the wide receiving core struggles. You would like to have a couple guys you like to count on coming out of the backfield. How have those guys looked so far?
Kelly's looked fine. The neck is good. He'll play on Saturday and has been getting all the first-team reps. And then they have a bunch of talented guys that all kind of bring something a little different, but they also come with their own unique flaws. So I'll try to run through them as quickly as I can. Chris Thompson is their third down back. There's not really much to talk about with him. He's their third down back and will be. Maybe gets a little bit more first and second down action this year. Samaje Perine's their fourth round pick. I would say he's a lock to make the roster. It's just how many carries is he going to get? Because right now he doesn't know the protections and things very well, and he had a fumbling problem in the first preseason game. Got to hold on to the rock. Can't be a liability. Otherwise, every time they're in the game, you know it's going to be a run, and guys are going to attack the football. You can't have that. So he's got a long way to go before he gets carries in games. Mack Brown has splashed every single time he touches the ball in a game situation. Preseason last year, he had a huge run against Chicago, and I think it was week 15 last year. So this is a guy that has got super speed. He's probably the second fastest or fastest guy on the team. But, you know, does he know the protections, all those other things? And is he reliable? I think that's the biggest question for him. And then Matt Jones has had 100-yard games in the NFL. He also was absolutely dreadful, in my opinion, last year and nearly got cut this offseason. And then they also have Kenny Hilliard in camp. I don't know if he's really probably going to be a real threat to make the roster, but he's been around, and who knows.
All right, I got to ask you about Kirk Cousins, too, and that's an ongoing story,
too. It took this long? I'm disappointed.
I tried to hold off as long as I could, but without talking too much about the contract situation, how do you think the players in the clubhouse are going to address it? Because in my experiences, when a situation like this pops up, the players get one of two things. They either kind of get used to it, they kind of form like a 15-second pat answer, and they just give that and maybe even have some fun with it as the season goes on, or players get tired of it and hearing the same issues. And is he going to be here next year? Is he not going to be here next year? And it starts to wear on a clubhouse. Which direction do you think the clubhouse and some of his teammates will go as the season goes on?
You know, I think there are two groups of players. There is the veterans or the guys that are under contract and are going to be here for a while. And those guys are smart. That's your Trent Williams, your Ryan Kerrigan. Mm-hmm. They know what's up, and they realize that Kirk's situation is kind of unique. And, you know, players like to see other guys get paid. And, you know, they know the kind of work he's put in, so they have their 15-second pat and answer. They're supporting Kirk, and that's great. Yeah. The other is the group like Terrell Pryor. There's a ton of these guys, including Pryor, who are on one-year deals themselves, and so they're all kind of like, yeah, I'm trying to do the same thing Kirk is. I'm just trying to go show out and get my long-term deal. And for a guy like Pryor specifically, he knows that his ability to get paid next offseason is directly tied to Kirk Cousins because that's who's throwing him the football. And so with that in mind, you know, that's kind of what Pryor said. Like, we're both on one-year deals, and we're in this together, and hopefully we can go out and get paid.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about the offensive line because I was noticing going through the stats the other day. Obviously, quarterbacks do better when they have time and they're not under pressure. But the disparity between Cousins when he has time and his ability to get rid of the football and to complete passes versus when he's under pressure is gigantic. There's a huge gap. He might be the worst in terms of quarterback efficiency while he's under pressure. So how good is the offensive line, and do you think they're going to buy him enough time so that he can have success this year?
Yeah, pass protection-wise, they don't really worry me a lot. They did blow a couple protections. They only played six plays in the first unit against Baltimore last Thursday, I guess a week ago today. But last year, much larger sample size, largely the same group of linemen, they were fine in pass protection. You know, the occasional mix-up, the occasional missed assignment, occasionally getting beat one-on-one. Morgan Moses had a stretch where he wasn't that great because he was hurt, and there wasn't really a whole lot he could do about it. And at that point, I think is when Trent Williams got suspended. So Ty Nsekhe, who's their exceptional swing tackle, was stuck playing left tackle in place of Trent. So they couldn't sub Morgan out when they otherwise might have. So overall, the pass protection stuff doesn't worry me. It's run blocking where this offensive line had a really big problem last year and struggled again. They had 2.2 yards to carry against Baltimore in the first preseason game, and that was right on par for that first string as well. Where it's the same problem. It's mistargeting, and what that means is, when you line up and figure out, all right, who's the guy I'm going to block, they pick the wrong guy. They don't align themselves properly. So it's not necessarily an execution problem of missing a block or getting beat by another player. It's not picking the right player to block. And so that's got to get cleaned up in the film room. They've got to be on the same page. And then they've got to take whatever the game plan is to the field and communicate it amongst each other, starting with Spencer Long, the center, and then flanking out towards the tackles. And the tight ends are really bad at that, too. So it's a lot about communication, and then from there, hopefully they can fix what they need to fix.
We're talking with Craig Hoffman from 106.7, The Fan, radio personality and Redskins reporter. You can also follow him on Twitter, at Craig Hoffman. Craig, I wanted to ask you about the rookies. Jonathan Allen, I know, has gotten a lot of great reviews, a lot of people excited about him, the Redskins drafting him. Ryan Anderson has looked very solid in the preseason so far. I think there's a lot of reason for optimism when you look at some of these younger players that the Redskins have drafted and what they've done so far.
Yeah, Anderson's got a stinger, so I don't know if we'll see him Saturday against Green Bay. Jay Gruden was kind of cautious about his availability when I asked him about it at the podium today. But Allen's been great. I mean, he's as advertised. Whatever the shoulder issue was that made him miraculously drop to 17, I think Redskins fans are going to thank whatever deity they pray to for a long time. That seemed to be a deterring factor from teams taking him, because he, for a time, was thought to be the number one pick in this draft. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, the top three or top five, no one thought he'd ever fall to 17 until there we are on draft night going, oh, my God, this is going to happen. And so far, like, you see why. I don't know if he's going to be that kind of player immediately. He's going to be a part of a rotation on that D-line. But for now, I mean, he's definitely a starting caliber and one of their better D-linemen. Anderson on the outside just is a super physical presence. I like what he brings. I think he's going to, you know, they'll be able to slowly work him in because of some depth they have at that position between Ryan Kerrigan and Preston Smith. Obviously, they lost a little bit of that depth with Trent Murphy's injury. He was going to be gone for the first four games because of suspension. But towards ACL in the first preseason game and is out for the year. Mm-hmm. And then Junior Gallette looks remarkable in camp. So I think third down, he's definitely going to be in pass rush situation. And then Anderson will kind of get in where he can. As for their other draft picks, P. Ryan, their fourth rounder, probably has the best chance to play. Their third rounder, Fabian Moreau, is battled some injury stuff, which they knew when they drafted him coming out of camp. And he's at a deep position in quarter. Another guy that's kind of flashed in camp. Holsey, a kid out of Auburn, Josh Holsey. He's had a nice camp at corner, but same Craig, thing as Moreau.
I'm sorry to cut you off. We're short on time, but we really appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, no problem. I understand.
All right, best of luck, too, for this upcoming season. All right, we'll see you next week with another live edition of Sports Talk.